The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of them and Kali.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I think it at least has some value. I mean, it's worth discussing. What are you poo-pooing it right off for?
Well,
Steve King from Congress.
Okay.
A member of Congress, the House of Representatives. He's from Iowa. He has an idea. Actually, a couple of moving parts to the idea that I think at least has merit enough to discuss and possibly a way forward. And already people have started poo-pooing it and attacking the guy. And I'm just saying, shouldn't we hear the guy out and maybe throw it about a bit?
All right. I mean, we're at least willing to hear him out.
He says we build the border wall with the money from food stamps. Some people objected to that.
Sorry.
Let me first say, Steve King, I like the cut of your jib. I like it, buddy. I like your swagger. Steve's like, listen, y'all, I'm in Iowa. My seat, I'm good. I can say stuff like this.
I can pretty much say whatever I want.
I could throw this out there. It's nice to know he has job security.
It is. You ever notice that? The people that have like tenure or people that pretty much are good to go,
right.
They're always the ones that are really out there.
they can say whatever they want there. So we build that wall with money from food stamps. Now, obviously that's sensational and people are going to attack him right off. But when you hear the little pieces to it, you're like, okay. Now, first of all, building the wall, I've said before, we have to do something. And if building the wall will actually work, and we do it right, I'm okay with that. I think there's better ways rather than put all that money and effort into a wall. Walls haven't always worked.
Yeah.
And I get the marketing of the wall, the negative connotations, that if we're a divided country, and we certainly are, with people who think differently, well, I'm not sure building a wall, because in their mind, they're like, you're keeping brown people out, you racist, and you're splitting up families.
Which
it's not that. And of course, the right thing trumps all of that. However, if you can find a way to include people,
probably get, you know, what do they say?
It's going to
catch more bees with honey.
Exactly. You're gonna be, bring them to the table. We'll hear you out. We understand, but we got to do something. So I think there's better ways to do it. But if the wall's the way, or if you need money for other programs to protect the border, let's say it's not a wall, and Steve King says, you take money from Planned Parenthood and and from food stamps.
The effect there is going to be, you're gonna get an effect where a lot of people are gonna hate you.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people are gonna love you too.
Right, but that's where we've been recently. What right. if we did some things differently? But I still think it has some merit. He said he supports 1.6 billion in funding that the House right now is considering as a start for building the wall. By the way, that should stop you right there. Again, securing the border is paramount. Not just illegals. That's not the issue. We're also talking security.
Right.
America's always going to be a target. We are.
Especially now in the world we live in.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's ever going to change.
Is the wall the thing that's going to stop and give us a real level of protection, or is it going to be TSA? The feeling of safety. So if it really does, it's worth just about anything, because if we're not secure, the whole country goes away anyway. But $1.6 billion to start, and that's going to be tens, hundreds of billions of dollars. It really will.
I mean,
a government project to build a wall that's going to be at least, 8, 10, 15, 20 feet high over the 2,000 miles. You don't think that's going to be into the possibly trillions of dollars?
I mean,
on a government budget?
On first glance, I would think it's just concrete, cement, and what else? Why is it so expensive?
Why?
But it is a government project. So.
Well, it's going to cost you. We have contractors and subcontractors, and we got this guy in. And, of course, we took money over here and buried it and gave it to that guy and this guy. And, it went. We had some cost overruns here, and then we didn't foresee this. It's a government contract, man. We'll be building this thing for 700 years.
Right.
And in the end, it'll be a chicken wire fence that costs us $45 trillion.
Right.
So you just got to do it right. But anyways, he said he supports the $1.6 billion in funding the House is considering. Cool. He said he'd like to add another $5 billion if he had it his way. Okay. Where do you get the money? He said, I would find $500 million of that right out of Planned Parenthood's budget. Okay. sold to the man, whatever. Planned Parenthood should not get it. You got a couple of issues here. First of all, we don't have the money to be giving money to Planned Parenthood. We got a budget issue. We may need money for something like the wall. If you're somebody that supports Planned Parenthood because you support women's health, women need help, they need mammograms and all this, fine. We've got a social safety net, things like Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, wink, wink. All these other things, fine. Planned Parenthood is not actually providing those services.
No, it's
overwhelmingly,
not.
almost exclusively, when you really know the truth, they provide abortion funding.
Right.
If you want abortion funding, that's something different. Let's prioritize here. Let's be honest. Abortion funding or securing our borders? Sorry. Then he said the rest of it would come out of food stamps and the entitlements that are being spread out for people that haven't worked in three generations.
Three generations? Is he exaggerating, you think? Or is that like...
I'm sure he is a little bit. Not in the number three, but in the number...
Generations.
Well, in the three generations. Right. He means, you know, grandparents don't work, then the parents and the kids. Right. And we've created in certain families a culture of not working. That's probably true. Is that 200,000 people? I don't know. Is it 50,000? Is it 12 people?
I think it's more than you
think. Is it 4 million? How many people have that attitude for three generations?
I would say quite a bit.
It wouldn't shock me if it was 1 million.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
You know, I mean, we got 330 million people in America. How many people don't work? And that's both ghetto and rural areas,
right,
where people just, you know, live off the system, right? So he said, now we have a problem, also have a problem of obesity. And when you match up the EBT card with what the scales say on some folks, I think it's worth looking at.
See what he did there. See what he's...
So, see, we've solved another problem by cutting out the food stamps there, Cal.
So we're working on diet programs now, too?
I think what he's saying is security. I don't want to put words in the congressman's mouth here.
Right.
What he's saying is we get a side benefit from cutting food stamps and putting the money towards the wall. So we're building the wall. What about those people? Let me tell you about those people. Some of those people should go on a diet anyway. I think that's...
They could stand and lose a few, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
So not only are we securing the border, we're helping people get healthy.
Getting healthy there, too. And encouraging them to work. And getting rid of the funding for Planned Parenthood, right?
Oh, my God. He just did a 3-3.
Now, That's pretty enticing, right? You're like, okay, this cat's got some stuff going on. But then he sweetened the pot a little bit.
Oh, did he now?
Sweetened the pot just a bit. Don't answer yet, Cal.
I got to hear it.
Don't answer. Don't vote yet. There's more. If you act now on this Steve King plan, you still will throw in the added benefit of creating millions of jobs building that wall. How about that?
And he's creating jobs?
Meet me on the border. How about that?
Wow. Wow.
See, someone's going to have to build that wall.
I mean, on paper, this looks really, really good, actually.
And on paper, I just laid it out there for you. The only thing I didn't throw in was a free bamboo steamer and Ginsu knife set. You're good to go here.
Can you throw in some mud flaps?
So, this sounds crazy over the top, but there's some merit to it. Okay, maybe it's a little incendiary.
Just a little bit.
But maybe we should be thinking this way.
It's not offensive if it's true.
Oh, wow. Rule 4. You're right. You cited rule 4.
You know?
Is there a rule?
Do we need help with the border? Yes.
Yes.
Do people need jobs?
Yes.
Yes. Do we want to keep funding Planned Parenthood?
No.
No.
Are people overweight?
Yes.
Yes. Do we have the money to keep paying for that?
No.
See what I'm saying there? You start adding up. So rule 4 is in play here.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a rule 1 violation?
Well, that depends on who's the talent.
No, rule, that's rule two. Rule one is don't be a jerk.
Oh, don't be a jerk.
Is he being a
a
jerk here?
A little bit.
Okay. Okay, so possible rule one. Keep the talent happy. Americans are the talent. To keeping them happy. Rule two is in play. Rule three doesn't necessarily apply. That's always come clean. Always met there.
Rule, what about rule five?
Rule five is you can doesn't mean you should.
Maybe?
I think we should. I don't think rule five is in play here. So I think rule four is trumping the other ones in this. I think
you're right.
Something to go here. All right. Well, let us know what you think on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Cal79, at Real Chris Cruz, at Kirk 1234567 89. Wait, what is it?
Kirk Jones 1234 5.
Is that it?
Right, Kirk.
No, Kirk. It's Kirk _ Jones 11.
Oh,
close,
sorry.
That was already taken.
Okay, that doesn't work anymore. You're gonna have to get a new one. Okay. Get a new one.
I'll something, change it to Kirk Jones 1234 5.
Yeah, sync them up so at least we know. Got to tell you about Relief Factor. It was designed to be an anti-inflammatory in order to help people deal with their pain. You got pains in your body. Maybe it's over long periods of time, reoccurring pains because of things you do, like certain exercises or something like that. They come and go here and there. Well, Relief Factor is designed to be an anti-inflammatory to deal with that pain because, as you know, a lot of pain in the body comes from inflammation. It's true. And certain things will help cause inflammation aside from your activities, certain lifestyles, certain things you eat. Sugar can be an inflammatory if you eat sugar. People with arthritis know that certain things will flare it up. So that's what we're talking about. We talk about Relief Factor. And the best thing, it's helped a lot of people. Yeah, we have had a couple of people. I've seen some people on Twitter go, I tried, it didn't work for me. That's cool. I get you. But most people, it has helped. All
everybody
kinds of people around here.
It helps for them.
I absolutely told you it's helped my mother-in-law now, too, which was, you know, like, who was it? You said you had somebody that was...
Popping painkillers?
Yeah, who was it?
My mother-in-law. She wasn't like an oxy or anything.
Right, she wasn't like that. She wasn't knocking over pharmacies in the middle of the night.
No, but it was like your typical like ibuprofen, whatever. Pretty regular basis, she'd pop a couple every time.
By the way, she had
regular inflammation that she never addressed.
You know, one of the other side effects of dealing with narcotics and a lot of stuff like that, a lot of those things are hard on your system. When you're taking that stuff,
oh, yeah.
It's bad for your kidneys.
Well, she's got ulcers, and it's because she's been, years and years of just like, I'll just pop a couple aspirins, whatever, to kill the inflammation pain. And all of a sudden, after years and years, you've got stomach problems.
Did you know it's...
Which is exactly what she's
Tylenol called. Is a huge help for people in the world. It was a great invention. But did you know Tylenol, if you take too much of it, if you exceed too much in the day, it tells you, or for too long of a period of time, it damages your kidneys and liver,
it does.
If
you take it on like a regular basis every day,
or if you're exceeding the daily amount, you'll see it's pretty serious stuff.
It does have problems, kidney and
so
liver problems.
So these are things you know you're putting a strain on your body. So try Relief Factor. It's $19.95, 3-week quick start pack. If you know somebody that deals with pain and you're tired of the blah, blah, blah about them whining because they're in pain, just buy it for them. It's $20. See if it works. Just tell them, listen, follow the directions. Stay on it the couple of weeks. See if it works. It's a good product.
And I'm pretty sure it won't wreak havoc on your organs like kidneys and livers and things like that.
It hasn't mine, so we're good to go. All you have to do is go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hi, right, tweets with the hashtag What I Learned Today.
Got a couple really good ones here. World of Spots, hashtag What I Learned Today. Steve King must have a difficult time finding pants that fit with his massive balls. Sleeve did it.
Well, and not to take anything away from Steve and the size of his testicular fortitude, he is in a pretty safe district.
When you got that job security there, you could say some pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, represent Nancy Pelosi's district and throw it out there. See if he has the fortitude.
Sleeve did it, tweeted, what I learned today, you had me at defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I just I do like the idea where we think of multiple benefits. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, ideologically and also for practical purposes, we should be cutting.
Absolutely.
Ideologically, and we don't have the money. We should be cutting. Absolutely. We can't do it. But then when you look beyond that and you go, okay, if we cut, it's not about... See, people on the left, you're hurting all those people. That money, you're taking it from all those right. people, whoever you're those people are, whatever people the program is. Right. So we start saying, what are the benefits of cutting? This is how we have failed. We talk ideologically about this stuff, and they go, you're hurting people. You look at all those people who need it.
Taking food from babies.
Instead of saying things like, Steve, whether this is accurate or not, and I think it is, you know, if we cut food stamps, you're hurting people. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're getting fatty off of the junk.
We're
right?
We're helping. You know what? You want to keep, we're talking about healthcare. You want to keep paying for unhealthy people and all that. Right. Diabetes, fat,
that's where
overweight.
You say it. Now, that's a very simple one and still going to be kind of a lightning rod. But that's the type of thing we're talking about. They made the argument, people on the left, why did we have to have a mandate? Why do we have to have a mandate that everybody had health insurance? And this is what they said. Because some people wouldn't pay into the system and the rest of us would have to
pay
get the bill.
Them, yeah.
And you go, so make them pay their way. And you go, okay, that's sound reasoning, even mm-hmm. if you don't agree with, you know, government health care. But then they said, and you know, we've got all of these people that are irresponsible with their bodies. Look at obesity.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, do you want to pay for those fat people? They actually brought that up in a nice way. Well, here it is. You use that same logic and you say, we've got an obesity problem. How is it we have an obesity problem in America and we do have more people on food stamps in the last 5-6 years or whatever than ever before? I think it's actually gone down just a touch in the last year or so. Not significantly. But remember when the numbers ticked up at, what was it, almost 50 million people on some form of government assistance?
Right.
Was that the number?
I think that was the number, yeah. It was somewhere like between 50 and 60 million.
Right. So you've got that huge number, and you haven't drawn the correlation there? See, it's
what
not
if they
like
started implementing like a weight limit with EBT cards or food stamps?
Get on the scale, fatty. Nope. Sorry, we're dropping you down. $20 this month.
Kind of sounds like Hunger Games logic, but it does make sense.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of like it, though. Now, so... How do you continue to spend that amount of money when you know we have a health issue with this stuff? And when you look around the world, it's not just America anymore. People are not starving around the world the way they used to.
No.
Some people are, but most of the people starving are in areas where there's war or oppression.
Right.
Like North Korea or parts of the Middle East or where
like
ISIS
Sudan
or the terrorists. Or right.
Like, yeah.
But it's not like back in the day when I was a kid where it's like Ethiopia, those people had no food. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, warlord or something. They just don't have any food. Now, there's food all over the place. It's not as healthy, and it's packaged, and it's whatever, but at least they're not starving.
Right.
So we don't have the same issues anymore. Look at the people from England. They used to mock us. Okay, yeah, we're still down the road a little further, but you're coming up fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see fat Asian people. That ain't right. That's just weird.
That is weird.
Outside of sumo wrestlers, you're like, what is going on here? That's just trippy.
This doesn't look right.
So if that's the case... We no longer have starvation or the hungry people. Because we feed the hungry. We've got to feed the hungry.
Feed the hungry.
Well,
they say that they feed
the poor.
The amount of food that's wasted.
We throw all kinds of stuff away.
So much.
So we've got to change our thinking here. Yes, people need stuff, but it's not food the same way we used to need stuff. That's completely different. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to change the system, we have to address stuff like this. Maybe the solution isn't, here's an EBT card. Have at it, chubby. Go down to Kroger and buy yourself what other crap you want and keep getting fatter. Maybe that Kroger card is, or that EBT card is only good at Kroger on the outside of the store. Not outside the walls, but on the inner perimeter, not those inner shelves.
The produce section.
The produce and the milk and the meat, not so much the cookies and the chips and the soda pop.
And the cereals, yeah.
How about that?
That might be a good idea.
So at least in that regard, it's a pretty solid idea.
There should be some sort of limitations.
And unfortunately, that's the lobbying and then corporate cronyism that has caused all that stuff. We've created quite a system for ourselves here. All right, get a quick break in and back with more in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, please tweet at Doc Thompson Show at Cal79. Use the hashtag What I Learned Today.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Absolutely. Stephen English, yes. Hashtag what I learned today. Park Service says don't feed the animals because they become dependent.
There's some logic.
Right?
There.
we issue food stamps. There. Yes, that's right. Let's see. 10th level Mystic says we already have that. It's called WIC, but it doesn't support you for the rest of your lazy ass life. No, he's right. WIC is women, infant, children, and it focuses on milk and cheese. Dairy products, but does it do meat and grain? I think it's just dairy.
I think it's just dairy. I'm not sure, though.
Which is just bizarre. And then you see the people with the... How about this? Can we at least speed these people up in the line?
In the pay line?
Yeah. I shouldn't... No. Here's what it is. They have to get to the back of the line or a special WIC wait your ass in line.
Really? Why? Because they're on...
Because I got to get through this faster. If I'm paying for this crap, I ought to at least be able to go faster. That's right. That's what I'm now demanding.
Real well. A line special for all those that are on welfare.
Why shouldn't you? Shouldn't I get some benefit for paying for it?
Then you're singling these people out and making them feel self-conscious.
No. We're giving you a special line. We're giving you your own line. It's all in the marketing, Cal.
Yeah.
We're giving you your own line. Because we want to make sure that you get through quickly.
Or you're just too damn slow.
Yeah. Well, have you seen them? Because they have to pull out different, like...
Well, it's not just those, the WIC people. They're just stupid people in line. I don't even go to the lines anymore. I go to the self-checkout.
I know, but there's no way to do that myself at this point. And I'm just saying, paying for your stuff, like I go, okay, fine. Some people need help. Great, whatever. They're in line. But when I'm standing behind you, shouldn't I at least... get to the front of the line, shouldn't I?
You're starting to sound a bit like...
Steve King, is that what I'm going for?
Yeah, or Hitler.
No, I'm just saying. I'm paying for
this.
This
is what Hitler said. This is all... Jews in the back of the line. You're going to start with the WIC people.
I'm not saying take them to a gas chamber.
That's where it starts. It starts with just...
I'm not looking for a final solution.
Own line at the supermarket. That's where it starts. Then you're moving them off... Give them their own supermarkets. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they don't deserve to eat. We should just get rid of them all.
I'm saying if we're going to do it, but I wouldn't be opposed to some sort of mark to identify who's on the...
Oh, you want to mark them now?
Like some sort of mark, and they're like
they
a scarlet
letter.
It's called
the EBT card. That's the mark.
Yeah, but see, the reason they went to the EBT, it's faster, but you can also kind of hide it. It's just like a credit card. You're not pulling out the little Thomas Jefferson stamps.
They should make them like bright red. So
that's what
knows.
I'm saying. So you know. So there is a little public shaming. So a separate line, and you got to mark that you're on the assistance.
That's part of racist.
The slippery slope.
How's that racist?
Because most food stamps is Puerto Ricans.
Puerto Ricans? Wait.
That's pretty racist of
Puerto Ricans. Okay.
He can say that because he is Puerto Rican.
Okay.
We can't say that.
No, you can't say that.
No, we're not allowed to
say that. It'd be double racist if you did that.
Well, wait a minute. We already know the Puerto Ricans that are on food stamps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they're buying the plantains.
Not just that. You know, there's a lot of shadiness on the food stamp in the Puerto Rico business.
No,
I did not expect that.
You
whatsoever.
Realized you didn't have to make that sentence as long as you did. There's a lot of shadiness in the food stamps. That's all it had to be.
Yep.
I remember that.
People sell the stuff. They give you 50 cents on the dollar cash for it. It literally stand out in front of the supermarket waving the stuff. Like, hey, I got the food stamps here, 50 cents on the dollar. I've seen that. And they're like, yeah, we can't do it. So some sort of scarlet letter, some sort of marking, you know. I'm not saying a permanent mark.
We're going to brand them? Is that what you want to do?
No, I'm not saying that.
You paused for a second there.
I slowed down to make sure I thought it through there for a second. Branding probably won't work.
Why not?
Because you could get off this stuff. You know, you want to give people a second chance. Unless it was like the star-bellied sneeches where they had a star on and off where you could take the star off then. Like an efficient way to take the tattoo off of your cheek that says you're, you know, the big EBT logo on your cheek. I mean, you'd have to have a way to do that to take it off.
Oh, those semi-permanent tattoos.
Like henna?
Henna. Yeah.
They like...
No, what about those Indian people that they
ink
call
that,
stays
that's more
on.
Tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, henna is like what? Stays on for like a week?
2 weeks.
Oh, actually maybe. A bit longer. It's like really.
There it is. You, when you get the food stamps, you get the week tattoo. You come in every week or two and you get it and you we re-henna you.
Every time you come in, you get re-henna.
You re-henna you up, right? Or whatever it is. Come on, there's got to be something we could do like this.
Slippery slope, Doc.
Oh, shoot. You know what it would be, though? These jackasses would start wearing it like a badge of honor.
Like a hip?
Right, that's what it would be. They'd start,
I got a henna. Do you have a
yeah,
henna?
Because, I mean, like songs and stuff where they rap about, you know, I'm on the EBT or pimping or whatever.
Wait, what song are you listening to?
Oh, says? There's no song where there's two people talking about getting free stuff.
I don't know anything about songs. I don't know anything about songs.
Well, they're wearing the community and the stupid-ass stuff that goes on about this. I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
I know there was an Obama
song. It's
got to
be a song about a rap song where somebody's.
Because you're the definitive rap expert.
Establish that.
There's got to be a song out there.
There's not. Okay. You don't think there is?
I don't
Would
think
you like
is.
To put a little bet on there?
$5.
That I can't find one? Oh, I'll bet you $5 easy.
All right.
Okay, we're on. You in on this?
I don't gamble.
What? Why not?
I got kids. I got to pay for them. I don't have the luxury of gambling.
It's $5. I thought you were right. It's not gambling if you know you're right.
Oh, I know I'm right. I just don't gamble.
Okay.
Can't afford
Cal's
it.
Cal's app of the week. Cal.
Yeah.
Speaking of gambling. No, this has nothing to do with that. But this is I've got a fun app this week. It's not a utility or anything like that. It's actually just a straight up game. And
I thought you don't do games.
Once in a while, I'll do a game. I don't do them too often.
So you don't gamble, but you play games?
Yeah, not for money.
Okay.
It's just a fun game.
For fake money.
Oh.
Just to blow off some
You ever
steam.
Play Monopoly?
Yeah.
For fake money?
For fake money, yeah.
So you'll gamble fake money?
Yeah, it's not real.
Okay. Is this a moral decision?
I find it a waste of money. I find it like a waste.
Not if you win.
Yeah, but how often do you win? It's like
if you know the game, you win.
The odds are pretty much against you.
You could bet only once in your life and win.
I only gamble if it's a sure thing. If I know
yesterday,
I'm
that's not
money.
Gambling.
That lady,
then.
She bought two scratch off, both of them.
That's
winners.
Right. Boom, baby.
$600,000.
How many before that did she buy and get nothing?
Who knows? Maybe none. Maybe a million. We don't know.
I don't like that. I don't like that maybe part. My money's too precious. My time's too precious.
Precious.
Okay.
Anyway, if I could talk about some fun
I'll
apps here.
I bet I can get you to gamble.
I see what you did there.
Okay, very good. All right, app of the week.
Take a little bit longer to pull one over on me, Doc.
It's a game.
I'll bet you can't bet to make me bet. this is a game. It's actually, it's been around for a while. They just released an update for it.
Pac-Man?
It's called Zombie Gunship. And what's cool about this game is that you...
No, you did not search this one.
What?
No.
What are you talking about? What's...
Okay.
I've played this game for quite some time.
Keep going.
I don't like when you steal my thunder.
I have not... Okay, keep going.
Anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, Zombie Gunship.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're in a C-130 plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you're mowing down zombies from the plane.
I like where they're at on this.
And the way it looks, the visual is, you ever see like, you know, military footage of mm-hmm. like when a, you know, the plane
Ten times.
Like blows
With the little
up.
Square.
Yeah,
and
the square.
Yeah.
It looks like that. It's like black and white. And you see so it's not like Walking Dead type thing. It's like you're up in a plane. You've got the square and you see the zombies coming out in hordes. But at the same time, you see people as well. So people are shaded like a because they're alive. It shows you like infrared, so you see them in like a bright color, and then the dead are dead, so mm-hmm. it doesn't show the heat. So they're like a darker color, and from the plane you have different parts of the arsenal to shoot down or shoot at these zombies, and the bigger the arsenal, the more damage it does. So it's cool as a visual being up from the plane and just mowing down zombies. It's not overly. Some of these games can be a bit. Overly
complicated.
Yeah, it's not. It's very simple. You're up in a plane, and you're shooting at.
Because I got to tell you, you made it sound pretty complicated.
How did I make it sound complicated?
I don't know. About halfway through with colors and explosions, I was like, "Oh my gosh, where am I? Wait." Okay,
no,
hold on.
Like I said,
I can interact.
Let me be honest. I really mentally tuned out for about 30 seconds.
You always tune out when I do this. I know you do.
So yours is called what? What's yours called?
Zombie Gunship.
Okay, mine is called CG Survival.
CG Survival. What do
you mean yours? This is not Chris's app of the week. It's Cal's app of the week.
It's Cal and Chris's app of the week.
No, it's not. Yes. The one, there was no
Chris's app of the week.
Because no, see, that one got released long
yeah,
time ago.
Yeah, I said it's not. It's not new.
Like,
it's not new.
I was still in the military.
It's not new. It's not new. But they released a new version called Zombie Gunship Survival, which is a bit more
advanced.
You can like build bases and stuff. But
and
I don't
what
really
happens
like
in,
it. I like Zombie
game.
Gunship is that it's simple.
Chris, what happens in your game?
My game is pretty cool because you get to have a base.
And what do you do there?
You
do you kill zombies
your base
from zombies?
From zombies.
Ooh, is I it, see zombies there.
Is it the same kind of visual?
Yeah, it's the same visual, the little box, but it's more harder.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's
this
more realistic.
Mine's simple. Mm.
But mine is more realistic, though.
Mm. How's it more realistic?
Because you have to find your weapons. You just can't just earn
Well, this
them.
One, you the more you kill... Here, look, Doc. I'm going to show you what it looks like. See, it's like this. It's like...
Oh, okay.
Exactly
I
what
show
I thought
you,
it was.
I'm going to show you what mine looks like.
Oh, so... Wow. Cal, yours is like black and white.
It's more realistic. Yeah. Look, you.
That means they didn't put as much into
it. There's the base, and then you got like.
What is that?
This is what real soldiers see.
Cal's
right?
looks like Pong, and Chris's looks like Xbox.
What are you talking about?
Mine looks like. I'm going to screenshot.
I'm going to screenshot
Here's
mine.
The audio of Cal's. Boop.
BS.
Boop,
that's BS.
Boop. Boop.
Real Air Force pilots see this, all right? They don't get a color screen. I mean, I've never been in the Air Force, but I'm pretty sure this is what real Air Force pilots see.
I don't think so now. That's what they saw in 1940.
No, they don't get color screens. Look, it's you see the white
That
people?
Was the technology when they bombed Hiroshima. That's technology from the Enola Gay.
See the ones that are shaded dark? Those are the zombies. Fire. And you can like blow them up.
No, I see yours. Yeah, see, Chris's is way more. You know, I mean, pull both your phones down. I'm gonna take a picture of it, and we'll tweet it out so people can see the
Do you want real or do you want?
Okay, now hold on.
Fake.
Try both on the table there so we don't get the. There you go. Move these.
Can we get this damn show on a TV?
Yeah, we need to televise this.
Okay, now I'm gonna show you. Cal's on the left and Chris is on the right. Well, I don't even need to tell you that. You'll understand. He just danced it. It's pretty rough.
Mine is free, too. You could download mine for free.
Where do they find yours?
App Store or Google Play or Android Play.
Mm-hmm. So where do they find yours, Cal?
Same thing. They're on all the app stores. If you want to be realistic.
Plus Nintendo 64.
Yeah. I typed the message there and tweet that out. I just put the picture on it or whatever so you can see it. All right. Well, the hashtag will be Cal's app of the week for his or Chris's app of the week. Hashtag Chris's app of the week if you want to. I like the idea of there being a competition here now. To make sure he's keeping you honest, Cal.
I'm always honest.
Keeping you on track. So Chris will bring one every week and we'll see who has the better app.
Oh, really? Can we do it like that?
That's what we're saying, yeah.
Okay.
Whoa, okay. Look at that. Whoa.
All right.
He didn't even have to talk smack. Did you see the gleam of the challenge was off?
Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I know you build apps and all that stuff, but here's the difference between you and me.
Okay.
I'm a consumer, so I know what people... I am the man of the people.
Gal was like, okay, bring
the
it.
Howard Stern of apps.
Oh, this was like Mayweather McGregor here. Wow, Cal was like, whoa. The old guy here taking the new upstart.
Oh, there you go.
That's it.
No, this is good. Okay, I'm happy.
All right, that's coming. Would you do that next Tuesday? Not Tuesday. Well, what the hell's today?
Thursday.
A week from today. 2 days behind.
Yeah.
Or 4 days early.
Who gets to decide who's the best app?
I think it's going to be apparent. I don't even think there has to be a judge. But in the case of a tiebreaker, it goes to Kirk.
Okay.
Really?
I accept, yes.
All right.
Kirk?
Yeah, so start
The guy who doesn't know which
his paw,
sound
right?
effect to play?
That's
All right, Cal, you just lost a point.
Wow, that's a good point. Wow, you're already talking smack to him. Okay. That's not
I just want to, you know,
trashing a judge isn't going to be good for you.
I want a viable judge.
Wow. All right, let's get a break in here. Back with more on The Morning Blaze.
Bring it up! You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
The number 888-933-93. Let's go to line 22, James in Louisiana. How are you?
Hey, Doc. You were talking about the food stamps.
Yes, sir.
Be ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you to a point. Okay. People that abuse the system and that just try to live off of them, yeah, they should be ashamed of doing that. But for the average hardworking American that doesn't make that much money, they're paying a whole bunch of taxes every year. And now Obamacare, that stupid Obamacare medical bill, the tire that you rent, is technically, by the Supreme Court, deemed a tax also.
Although if you're on the food stamps, should you be paying taxes? I would think most people on food stamps aren't paying taxes, are they?
Oh, there's a lot of people that, you know, you're paying, because I used to be on them for a while when I qualified. But the thing is, you're paying all this money out in taxes, and then you're having to buy your own food, and that income tax refund check don't touch what you paid out in taxes throughout the year. So if you qualify for food stamps, go ahead, fill out the paperwork, get them, because you've already paid for them with your taxes. But get your money back. Screw Uncle Sam. They can't buy your food with the taxes you paid them.
We've come a long way from JFK, haven't we? Not what your country screw. I don't disagree with you on that, James. I understand the sentiment. No, I understand what you're saying. I think we have a greater failure, though. If you're on assistance and you truly need some form of government assistance, you shouldn't be paying taxes on this stuff. I mean, this is, you pay taxes. I'm pretty sure you pay tax on your Social Security income.
Yeah, I think so.
Why are you paying? Why do we say if you've paid into the system and you are a senior? And let's face it, Social Security is not enough to sustain your life. It really is.
No, my grandparents are working right now.
Exactly. Why is that part of the system?
Yeah.
Well, same thing with like inheritance tax. Why am I paying tax on inheritance?
The death tax.
That money's already been it's already been taxed
multiple 100 times.
Why do I have to pay tax on it again?
Here's the good news about inheritance tax, because it infuriates me to think
good news.
Yes, there really is. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, it infuriates me to think that I could work my whole life. And, you know, squirrel out some money and want to leave a couple bucks to my kids, money that I've earned over and over again, and they have to pay taxes on then or whatever. The good news is this. We're never going to have any money to leave to our children. So they're never going to have to worry about
that's
such
good.
Things.
No, that's good news. That's good news. Okay,
Blaze,
great. Thanks.
With Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, on the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I'm rejecting them. Sorry. No, I don't need the reading glasses.
Yes, you do.
I don't need them.
You're the definition of who needs reading glasses.
I can still do fine without them.
No, you can't. Because every time I hold something up, you squint like this and you're like, I can't.
No, it just is easier to focus.
It takes you 4 minutes to read two sentences.
No, I can read. It just takes me a second to focus. I want to make sure I read it without, you know, just going off half-cocked.
Normal people don't need to squint almost to the point where their eyes are closed.
Just saying.
You know, it would improve your game.
I'm rejecting them because I don't want to be hooked on them. I don't need your evil, addictive.
I'd rather be hooked on phonics.
Products.
on math.
You don't need that tool that it makes life easier.
Yeah. No.
Is that what the cavemen said when they discovered fire? We don't need this.
He's the first caveman that picked up the rock and went, I still use fist.
Chris said they made me look older when I put the reading glasses on.
Well, that's a
they
given.
Make you look wiser and smarter. What do you think?
That's what you're telling yourself because you have them.
Right.
What's Kirk?
You look like Brad now.
Yes, that's much, much older.
With more hair.
Look at this. Do I look older with them on?
Yes, you look much older. Well, it's also because you're wearing them like at the tip of your nose.
That's because I have the reading glasses.
It's easier to look over the top bridge. Of them.
They're easier to look over the top of them because otherwise you have to put your head way down like that.
Now you look old, for sure.
That's because that's what old people have to do.
Nay, I reject them. I've got another good 10 years in me before I need
I've
them.
I've got glasses too, see? Do I look old?
No, you just look stupid.
Actually, see?
You just look bad. I don't know what about old.
Yeah, when you turn this way, Doc's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you look. All right, I got to get a quick phone call before we get to our headlines. Daniel in Florida, thanks for holding, buddy. How are you?
Oh, it's a great day to be employed. How about yourself?
Doing well.
All right, so Doc, you win the bet. So in the mid-90s, huge hit by Bone Thugs and Harmony, the first of the month. It's all about celebrating getting your food stamps recharged at the beginning of the month.
Bone Thugs and Harmony. Yep. I remember
Harmony.
The Southern group.
Harmony.
They were from the South.
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
They're Harmony, right? Like Hominy
no,
Grits?
No, Harmony.
Harmony, like singing in harmony.
Hey, yeah. They've got a Facebook page.
It gets even better.
They're from the South. They're from South Cleveland, I remember.
Now this gets even better. They misspelled the word the, T-H-A, because, you know, nothing goes together like illiteracy and food stamps.
So there it is. All right, Big Daddy, let's see the $5.
See, this is why I don't gamble.
Right. And by the way,
where's the cash, Chris?
They're going to be in Houston.
You bet me $5. There's not a song about it. The bet was that there would be a song about food stamps or somebody celebrates food stamps.
What's
a rap
the song?
Song.
What's the song?
He just told you what it was, but it's by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Attention.
Oh, wow. What a dirtbag.
Bone
we'll go back
and
to
Harmony.
The, yeah, what was it?
Bone Thugs and Harmony, first of the month.
First of the month, baby. Yeah. First of the month. There it is.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find
10.
The most profound headlines.
I'll do double or nothing that there's five songs. Rap songs or songs in general about food stamps.
Oh, no. What? You can't go in general because it was rap songs we were talking about.
Well, that was the first bet. I'm just saying you want to do...
Okay. I'm
five
confident.
Songs about assistance, food stamps, whatever.
I'm comfortable enough to say yes.
Okay.
What a coincidence, because with your food stamps, it's National Beanie Weenies Day.
What's Beanie Weenies?
What?
You don't know Beanie Weenies?
What's Beanie Weenies?
I quit.
That's it. You know, you can't believe you don't know. This
what
is Beanie? Why I can't work with you.
What do you mean?
Little Franks and Beans.
They're Beanie Weenies?
Yeah.
Is that like the name brand?
Beanie Weenies.
Guys, my mom cooked. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like maybe guys, you know them as Beans and Franks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry for being a latchkey kid, okay?
Sorry, my parents had jobs, okay? We had money. We were not assistants.
Damn.
Wow.
Damn.
What's next? You're going to say we should take money from Planned Parenthood and build a wall with it?
Sorry, guys. We didn't eat spam. Actually, no, I do know the name now, but I just called them Beans and Franks. I didn't know yet.
Hey, spam
Franks
is
and
good.
Beans.
Spam is
delicious.
Very good.
Some fried eggs?
I live with Asian people. Trust me, we eat spam.
Pineapple? Mm. All right, so Michael Rothstein in Florida. He lives in Ocala. He's a podiatrist. He filed claims for the removal of skin and muscle. He said nearly half the work he did involved the removal of skin and muscle, but he wasn't really removing skin and muscle. He was actually clipping patients' toenails and shaving their corns and then turning it into insurance as...
So
removing skin and muscle.
Claiming he was doing one thing and not actually do. He was just giving him
a pedicure.
Yes, and yes, pretty much. And he turned in claims for $1.5 million, and now he has to pay it all back.
What's his name? What was it?
Michael Rothstein.
I love going to Dr. Rothstein because my pedicures are covered by my insurance plan.
I think the guy had a foot fetish.
Yeah.
Hey,
foot fetish.
Yeah, by the way, that's still a bit of a... Who wants to clip toenails and shave down corns? That's not a... That's disgusting.
Hey, have you ever tried it?
That's a Tuesday for
Have
me.
You ever tried it?
By the way, that's still not a deal. Is it a pedicure if your copay is $50?
No.
No, because a pedicure is $50.
That's why he
What are your copays? Pedicure is $50?
Yeah.
To clip your toenails?
Yeah.
Okay, we are in the wrong business.
Right?
For real.
Wow.
Yeah.
If only I knew an Asian woman who could start a business like that, because there seems to be money.
Wait, you do.
Oh, okay.
Hey, that's a good idea.
You know a few.
Interesting.
This is a weird story. And Sarah Gonzalez actually did a follow-up on this one on The Blaze. John Henry Barrett died this past May, of an infection and complications from a gunshot wound. His death was ruled a homicide. He was shot in 1958.
How's he been since then?
He was shot when he was 19 years old during a fight with a friend, believe it or not. In the original report on the gunshot, the friend was never identified. Guy never served any time in prison, but this guy walked around with the bullet, I guess, in him and damage to his spinal cord, and finally died 50 years later.
But he basically got through life, the 58 years or whatever, and then at some point it actually shifted or whatever and became infected.
Yeah. If the bullet, the bullet may not have stayed in here, but enough damage.
Was there at least a charge of assault prior to that? I would think there's...
Nothing?
No. Okay, now that's the fail. It's interesting that he would be charged 58 years later, but it makes sense. Okay, got it. That guy is legit. But why wasn't there at least an assault charge or an attempted murder charge?
Yeah, it was 1958. It was a simpler time.
you could shoot a friend simpler. In the spinal column and still be fine.
Either you killed him or you didn't.
That's right. Is he alive? Glasses. You're fine. Rub some dirt in it.
Yeah, that's if you put on the glasses. It was a simpler time. You could shoot a friend. And you didn't go to prison like you do now. That's the difference.
Back in my day.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, in the same town, this is kind of strange, Florida man says he's got a monkey problem. Brian Pritchard, who also, right? Apparently 50 monkeys at a time are wandering into his yard to eat the deer food he has put out in the deer feeder. And there's a picture of this.
Who knew?
This is the... and the
monkey and deers eat the same thing.
So he set up trail cameras.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
He's got monkeys coming in from...
It looks like the monkeys also eat cameras.
Hey, that's all up on there. They just jump Facebook. Oh, your deer food.
Wait a minute, that's in Florida?
Ocala, Florida.
That looks like the Serengeti.
Oh my God, there's that many monkeys? Because we've seen stories about random monkeys. I didn't know there was that many in Florida.
Yep.
Florida, you are screwing this up. Mm-hmm. That is a tourist attraction. Yeah. Start promoting. You've got wild monkeys in Florida. Am I right?
Right down the street from the alligator farm.
Yeah, well, Ocala is all woods and forest area. It's a
Did you know there
area.
Were that many monkeys there?
I know that many. I know there were monkeys. Holy I know there moly. Were that many monkeys.
This is like a and whole colony.
Those are the cute monkeys. Those are the monkeys you go to the zoo
to see throw poo.
Yeah,
sure.
Those aren't the chimpanzees that just lay around there.
Yeah.
These are the ones that are hopping and jumping.
You aim for the poo-throwing monkeys.
Who doesn't like to see that? People say they don't, but you like to see the poo-throwing monkeys. Come on. Keith.
I explained this when I was filling in for Brad a few weeks ago.
Yes, what is it?
There was the guy who ran the
like wild
deal, and then he went out of business and freed the monkeys, and they've been populating the earth ever since.
So it's the same thing with the snakes, right? Because the snakes were twofold. First of all, people release them. You know, they get the boa constrictors or whatever, or pythons, and release them, and they don't have any natural predators. But the other one, it was one of the hurricanes, Andrew, 20-whatever years ago, that blew apart a reptile center. They had all these snakes in there, and they went out.
Oops.
But they're pretty prolific here.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No natural predators, I guess.
You know what they say about monkeys.
Wow.
Wait, what? No, we want to know what do they say about monkeys.
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you
like
later.
A monkey.
Right?
A diagram?
Like monkeys.
Like monkeys. Hey, let's make sure, Chris, that we have the transgender update theme ready because
at the Blaze Keith, by the way, on Twitter.
We do have it ready.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Okay, so in Florida, this is a special Florida edition. Camus McNair driving through the Florida Keys, drives through one of the keys, Monroe County Sheriff's, they notice his license plate's obscured. He's got tinted windows. They pull him over. They smell the herb. Wafting out of his car. Yep, exactly. Do a little investigating. Find a Cookie Monster doll inside his backpack. Back seat. Seemed a little heavy. Noticed a little slit in the stomach. Apparently, Cookie Monster wasn't eating cookies. He was eating cocaine. He was 11 ounces. Of cocaine inside Cookie Monster worth almost $20,000 on a good day.
Wow, his fix has really evolved.
Yeah,
cocaine. Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
The good thing is, on the coke, you're probably not going to want the cookies anymore.
Right?
Could have been worse, yeah.
I know. They'll never look inside Cookie Monster. Let's put it there.
That's Family Guy.
You know, let's do our transgender update.
And now, an important transgender update.
All right, so you might want to have the duct tape ready for this one because your head will explode.
I always have a duct tape handy.
I saw this and I could not honestly believe it. On the train, the subway in London, they will no longer be saying, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen."
All right. No.
LGBT activists have caused them to rethink their verbiage. We want everybody to feel welcome on our transport network. So from here on out, it'll be, you know, well-meaning things like, "Hi, everybody. Good morning, Britain." But you can't use "ladies and gentlemen." And if an employee does slip up, they're now going to, correct them. They're going to get corrected.
If they say "ladies and gentlemen"?
Yes, if they say "ladies and gentlemen."
Wow.
Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm sorry, that's two violations.
Even Pierce Morgan tweeted out, "What the bleep is wrong with this country?" And he's talking about England.
Right.
What the hell? hell is going on?
What, God,
that's it. It's over.
I don't understand why people are so troubled if it's you. See, that it's not that people try to help. I mean, that's taking it too far, certainly. But the person that's pissed because you identify as neither a lady nor a gentleman.
What the hell else is there?
Lady, boy, gentleman, girl. I don't know. But the point is,
if you're transitioning to a woman, you're going to be a woman. Or
I think there's
vice versa.
A larva stage. There may be a larva stage. Something like that where you're in the middle.
Chrysalis.
Is it the pupus? It's the pupus stage, right? No, I get that. Why are you offended? If I go to an almost exclusive Jewish area or Muslim country or Hindu place, mm-hmm. and they are like, happy, whatever, I'm not like, you sons of a mother. Right. How dare... I'm like, oh, most people here are that. That's right. Cool. How am I offended by this?
What happened to when in Rome?
That's a really good point.
I just don't get it.
When on the train, be a man or a woman. Exactly.
And again, what else is there?
All right, you're not in with that one. You got to give me another one.
All right, so up in Muskogee, Oklahoma, Catherine Carraway went into the Walmart there. She locked the door after she went in. Video evidence of this from their security system. That was on a Friday. Mm-hmm. While later, a store employee goes over, finds the door locked, assumes there's an issue with the bathroom, puts an out-of-order sign on the door. That makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't until Monday somebody said, hey, what's wrong with the bathroom? I don't know. They unlocked it. They found the dead body inside. She'd been in there all weekend. Yeah, she walked in, locked the door, and died.
Wow, I got to tell you, I didn't think
about it.
I did not get that specific, but we could assume. That makes the story better.
I didn't think a bathroom could actually smell worse than they normally would. We've managed to make bathrooms smell worse.
Isn't that how Elvis died?
He did.
Yes, he
the
did.
King died on the throne.
Whoa, hang on. Did he die?
Or did he?
Dun, dun, dun.
There it is. Yes.
Kirk. See?
Slow the drawing.
You want this guy to vote on the apps? Come on.
Kirk was just enthralled with the story.
You know what it is? I think.
It really was.
I think Kirk is going to need the dawn to dusk from now on.
Yes.
Because he is clearly not doing it. He's out of it.
Yeah, he's exactly. Half feeling it.
The Dawn to Dusk from Brickhouse Nutrition. That's what he needs. It's an extended-release energy supplement. Lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain. And Kirk certainly is lacking in those things.
Seriously, Kirk, if you take this, you will not have any issues. You'll be on top of it. You'll be...
on top of the world.
On top. looking down on creation.
Exactly.
You won't have any issues at all. Because you know why? It's an extended release throughout the whole day. So we
all
won't be
day
half
long.
Out of it now or later in the day.
I'm done at 8 o'clock at night too, so I'm up all night.
Perfect.
I can't believe he's waited this long. Seriously. I don't think Kirk trusts us.
No. Kirk, there's this website called BrickhouseDoc.com. Go to BrickhouseDoc.com.
Write this down.
Kirk,
write it down.
Write it down. Ready? BrickhouseDoc.com.
He's not writing it down. I could tell. He's acting like he's writing it, but he's not writing it down.
Promo code is Doc. Get 15% off. And then I don't want to hear any excuses from you.
That's right. And from now on, then you're held accountable. It's not going to be you're working a lot of hours. None of this nonsense. BrickhouseDoc.com and use the promo code DOC, Dawn to Dusk, to get that extended release energy supplement that has worked so well for so many of us here at The Blaze. Back in a minute with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on The Blaze Radio Network.
We have a Shia LaBeouf date to get to.
Shia LaBeouf date. Shia.
We interrupt Doc Thompson in the Morning Blaze to bring you this important Shia LaBeouf date.
Seriously, order the Dawn to Dusk now. Kirk, seriously, I don't know what is going on.
He's got to get back to Walmart.
So apparently Shia has apologized now for his rant.
Yes.
Before I get to the full apology, we also have new audio
footage. We have the audio.
And again, we have beeped this.
Okay, yes.
Now where does this take place? So real quick to recap.
Where did we leave the hero in the last
When last we left our hero, Shia LaBeouf, he was filming a movie called Peanut Butter Falcon in Savannah, Georgia. He goes out, asks a cop, a black cop, for a cigarette, Cop turns him down, whatever, doesn't have one, whatever. Shia gets all indignant on him.
An American.
Yeah, says he pays his taxes and all this. Cop tells him to leave the establishment. He refuses. Cop starts to arrest him. He flees to his hotel across the street. They say, hey, sorry, you're fleeing for being arrested. They go over there and get him. We had footage of him being arrested and then him in the car where he actually gets racist.
Yes.
Tells a white cop later on, what are you locking up the white guy for?
Let me go.
That's where it is. So where does this footage fall?
Our hero now is being fingerprinted.
Oh, this is at the station house
this is
now.
At the station house.
All right. Good deal. Shia LaBeouf, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you want to know straight there, bro? That's not very nice. Like, no, it ain't, but it's real. You especially, Devin. A sad
Why was it dead?
Because he's a black man. Got me in here on a f***ing hole from a black man who arrested me for being white in a city that don't have nothing to do with none of it. I'm sitting in a, I'm having a cigarette asking three black people to have a cigarette and want to call me a f***ing racist. It happens just like that, my man. And it's super simple.
Super simple.
You call me whatever you want.
I ain't called you anything.
No, you ain't call me f***ing. You just call me f***ing and you dumbass shit for no reason at all.
Hold on a second.
Paparazzi.
So did he call him an N-word?
No, he didn't call him the N-word.
Okay.
No, no, no.
But it's funny because he's all Mr. Sensitive to Race and whatever, but he is clearly being racist when he keeps saying you're arresting the white guy
for asking a
black guy for a cigarette and all this stuff.
He said the black guy's going to hell.
Right, yeah.
Because he's black.
Yep, yep, exactly.
What?
Mm-hmm. So his apology, he says, I'm deeply ashamed of my behavior and make no excuses for it. I don't know if these statements are too frequent or not shared often enough, but I am certain that my actions warrant a very sincere apology to the arresting officers, and I'm grateful for their restraint. The severity of my behavior is not lost on me. My outright disrespect for the authority is problematic, to say the least. I have been struggling with addiction publicly for too long. Didn't he start by saying there's no excuses for it?
Yep.
And then he went on to give excuses for it. Got it. Okay.
Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Joining us now is James Ledbetter, editor of Inc. Magazine and author of One Nation Under Gold, How One Precious Metal Has Dominated the American Imagination for Four Centuries. Hey, James, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Yeah, gold certainly has captivated people. I mean, it's gold fever, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, gold has a universal appeal, obviously, in lots of different countries, lots of different cultures, but I think in the American journey, it has a very specific and powerful role, really forged our identity in the 19th century with the discovery of gold in California and the tremendous movement of people westward, and it kind of put the United States on the map financially. I mean, for the first several decades of its life, the United States was a often poor, kind of bankrupt former colony. The discovery of gold made it suddenly a force to be reckoned with the world economy.
That's really interesting. I had never thought about it that way. I guess as an American, you know, I have a skewed view, I think, as an American, and I just assume the world thinks the same way. But I've never been challenged, to think about that, about gold. Was it Sutter's Mill in 1849? Is that right?
1848, that's right. Okay. And, the city of San Francisco was a blip prior to that and suddenly became a kind of capital within the capital. For a time, the San Francisco Stock Exchange was actually worth more than the New York Stock Exchange because of the tremendous flood of wealth and people that came into the area during that time. And I think for a lot of Americans, gold still represents that sense of world domination, that sense of entitlement, if you will, that this was our destiny to lead the world and that gold helped us accomplish that.
So what is the future of gold in America and what is our future? How are we tied together?
Yeah, so, I mean, we no longer have a currency tied to gold, and we haven't for about half a century, although there are certainly people out there who would like to see us return to a gold standard. And for in 2012 and in 2016, the Republican Party platform actually had a plank in it to sort of create a commission to perhaps study restoring some metallic standard for gold. I think it's a wildly impractical idea, but I think it has a lot of appeal to certain Americans who are skeptical about the monetary system that we currently operate with, the role of the Federal Reserve, et cetera, et cetera. It remains, I think, a very powerful symbol for us, and actually, as an industry, gold mining in the United States is quite important now, having more or less disappeared after World War II through the 1960s and 1970s.
I was going to ask, is there any, like, do we know, is the country been, like, you know, mined out? Do we know if there's still gold left in them thar hills?
Well, U.S. gold mines had something of a renaissance in the beginning in the 1980s, and still today, there's still plenty of gold being mined in the United States. However, we are not the largest gold producer in the world. These days, that title goes to China, as with so many other things in the global economy. But it remains a vital part, particularly in the western part of the country, of the United States economy. And, you know, gold has a role in the monetary system. We continue to stockpile gold. Most central banks have large gold reserves. It's not an official role, but it is an important part of what makes the global economy tick.
I heard a piece of trivia once that said all the gold that's ever been mined would fit into an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
I've seen that.
Is that
too.
True?
That's roughly right.
It's incredible.
You know, on a global level, or in the country?
On a global level, right?
On a global level since the beginning of time. And the other thing about gold is that you can't really destroy it. It's one of the interesting properties that has led it to be such a powerful symbol, is that you cannot destroy gold. And you could shoot it into space, but you can't actually get rid of it. It just takes on a different form. And so, yeah, all the gold that's ever been mined out there is out there somewhere. And we increase our global supply by maybe 1 or 2% a year.
So explain to the layman, or in layman's terms, what is the gold standard?
The gold standard was a way of valuing the dollar or other currencies, depending on what country and what time, that said, you know, at a given price, you could trade all your dollars for gold or all your gold for dollars, and the U.S. Treasury would always exchange it. And that system was in place roughly from the latter part of the 19th century through the early 1970s, with some suspensions during the Great Depression. One of the first things that FDR did upon taking office was to first close every bank in America, and second, to buy up all the gold in private hands and make it actually illegal for Americans to own gold. The banks reopened within days or weeks, at least the healthy ones did, but the prohibition against owning gold remained for 40 years. It was actually illegal for the vast majority of Americans to own gold as an investment through the middle part of the 20th century. And part of my book, One Nation Under Gold, explores the movement to restore the ability of Americans to own gold as an investment.
So was it Nixon who took us off the gold standard? Was that under his administration?
That's right. Nixon took us off the gold standard because, frankly, it became untenable. The system put into place after World War II, known as the Bretton Woods system, said that gold was convertible to the dollar at the rate of $35 an ounce. This system worked really well, but what you had then was, because of the growth of Western Europe, the growth of Japan, you have all these dollars and dollar-backed securities out there in the world that, if they were going to be redeemed at the same time for gold, all the gold in Fort Knox wouldn't be enough. And that system eventually kind of collapsed under its own weight. And it was, Johnson wanted to do it. Kennedy saw that it would probably have to be done, but Nixon finally, the system was untenable, and he took us off the gold standard on August 15th, 1971.
So it was really about logistics, that there wasn't enough gold to convert should people decide to do that.
That's right, and that left the dollar very, very vulnerable to all sorts of currency manipulations and you know, sort of central bank machinations. And I think, you know, most Americans probably didn't comprehend what it entailed to take us off the gold standard when he did it. And of course, it had a profound shock on the economy. And one of the reasons why the 1970s was such a volatile period was the world was trying to adjust to a post-gold dollar.
So we had our dollar was backed based on gold. It was based on a commodity. It wasn't just the faith of the federal government. And then the United States was the reserve currency. So it took a while to get established. I like the idea of our dollar being backed by something tangible like that, a commodity. I think, especially in today's world, giving it stability. I understand what you're saying about there not being enough gold, and that certainly makes sense. Wouldn't there just be a way to adjust for the value of the gold if there wasn't enough to cover it? Explaining that right?
Sure, in theory, but remember that the system that we had, there was no way to adjust it. It was a fixed system of $35 an ounce, and so you really get kind of distortions over time. If we were going to restore it today, we would have to come up with some way of valuing what the dollar is worth vis-a-vis gold, and there are any number of methodologies that you could use to do that, but depending on which one you choose, you could come up with a price that's very, very low or very, very high and cause all the gold to flow out of the country. It really is not a practical system in a modern global economy, but you have a point when you say that it would at least be worth something as opposed to kind of what everybody says it's worth, right? That's the system that we have now where most of the major currencies in the world are defined by, frankly, what the market thinks they're worth.
So what's in Fort Knox now? Is the country's entire gold supply there?
Actually, there's more gold in the U.S. Reserve in New York City, downtown New York City, than there is in Fort Knox. But there's still quite a lot in Fort Knox.
Yeah, Brad, didn't see Diner 3?
I guess not.
And at this point, it's kind of a almost more of a tradition than anything else. It's not like we need that stockpile to back up our currency, but I think, no, there's no such thing as a permanent global monetary system, right? The system that we have today will last until it collapses under some strain as yet unknown. And, you know, what that future looks like, who knows? It could involve gold. Certainly there are people who think that China is stockpiling gold for that kind of a scenario. And, banks are reluctant to give it up because it does still have value in the world.
So we know a lot of countries are arguing that maybe the dollar shouldn't be the reserve currency anymore, and China's obviously a player, and Russia and the whole economy. But we also see
the euro.
Yeah, the euro, of course. We see digital currency now with the bitcoins and whatever. Likely there's going to be one or a couple of those that are around and become a standard long term, won't we? Whether it's a bitcoin or another one?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And it's kind of fascinating because on the one hand, gold and Bitcoin are polar opposites, right? I mean, gold is the ultimate physical embodiment of value. It comes from the ground. Bitcoin doesn't exist in the real world, so they're totally opposite. But at the same time, I think there is an overlap in their appeal, in that they both appeal to people who are skeptical about the Federal Reserve and the role of central banks. They both have a fixed, limited supply. There's only so much Bitcoin in the world that can be, quote, mined, unquote. And I do think that the blockchain technology that we see today with some of these cyber currencies will push us toward the future. Is it going to be the central currency for this country or any major country in my lifetime? I don't think so. But there's a lot of interesting experimentation going on, and sooner or later, adaptation will get to a point where it's much more common than it is today.
James, I got to tell you, that's brilliant. That is brilliant to put those in. You're right. The overlap between Bitcoin and gold it comes down to a distrust skepticism. Or a lack of faith. Let's put it that way. A lack of faith or skepticism in the federal government, which is really pretty sad. Maybe that's a bigger issue with what we all face today.
Well, I think that's right. And I think that's one of the reasons why you have, particularly within the Republican Party, a constituency for a return to a gold standard. It's another way of talking about, limiting the power of government, limiting the size of government, limiting government spending. Whether it makes sense or not as an actual practical policy is one thing, but as a symbol and as a kind of statement, a shorthand for a particular kind of politics, it still has a lot of appeal.
Would you say it's a smart or important for every American to have some portion of their assets in gold, physical gold?
You know, that's an interesting question. My book is really a book of history. It's not a book about investment advice. But I think, you know, most financial advisors will tell you if you want to hold gold as part of a broader portfolio, it's a perfectly good sound investment. I think, you know, if it's more than 5 to 10% of your portfolio, you're probably doing something wrong. And like anything else, it involves, you know, market timing. You can make a lot of money with gold if you time it right. You can lose on it. I mean, if you bought it in 2011, 2012, and are holding it now, you're probably behind the curve. The other thing I would say is you have to be really careful when you invest in gold, because there's a lot of people out there who want to charge you hidden fees to store it. If you want to sell it, you have to pay an extra fee, and you can really see your returns get eaten up. So you really have to do your homework.
Well, I'm just, I guess we're all pretty thankful that that 1964 documentary Goldfinger didn't, that plan didn't work out. We'd be in bad shape now. That would, you know what's funny about that, too? With Goldfinger, one thing in your book, you talk about our fascination, our, you know, that really is part of it, too, right? The allure of gold and that character.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that my book explores is a program in the 1960s that the government secretly embarked upon, which they called internally Operation Goldfinger, which really the only way to describe it was a kind of secret 20th century alchemy quest, a program to find gold where it had never been found before. So they were literally like government scientists throughout the 1960s trying to find gold in plants, in seawater, in meteorites, in deer antlers, in animal bones, all like the most obscure sources. And the truth is there are trace amounts of gold in a lot of these things, but to extract gold from these substances would cost way more than $35 an ounce. So it was sort of meaningless given the system that we were operating under, but that's how desperate they got. I mean, that's what the monetary system looked like, this desperate search for gold, because it couldn't stand with the existing supply.
That's Chapter 7, Operation Goldfinger. You can read it in the book, One Nation Under Gold, How One Precious Metal Has Dominated the American Imagination for Four Centuries. James Ledbetter, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Quick break, back with more on The Morning Blaze.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Health IQ is a fantastic opportunity for you to do some good. It's an opportunity for you to save some money. That's always nice. Live a healthier lifestyle and also get great life insurance. Health IQ had the idea years ago that, hey, maybe if you live a healthy lifestyle, you ought to get a cheaper life insurance policy. And the industry was like, what, are you nuts? We're going to charge you more if you have an unhealthy one, but we're not going to give you a health
cheap discounts. Right. What are you talking about?
And they're like, we could do this. They're like, no, we can't. We don't have all the data. How we would set the numbers. And
we
they're
got
like,
you covered.
We'll do it. So they literally spent 3 to 5 years, whatever it was, gathering information and then started the program. And that took a couple of years. Now they're up and running and it's great. They've helped tens of thousands of people secure billions in life insurance and it works. And if you want a free quote, go and log on to healthiq.com/blaze, and they'll ask you some basic, simple questions, how you eat, how you live, these type of things, your smoker, whatever, and they'll tell you what your life insurance policy would cost. In today's world, as unstable and unpredictable as things are, having a life insurance policy
is
very, very important thing to do.
I kind of scoffed at it in the beginning, but then
you got
to
do it.
Wait a minute. If something were to happen to me, my wife and my kids are basically all on their own. There's really nothing,
exactly.
I mean, other than our savings. And how long is that going to last?
And by the way, I mean, they can tell you the different programs they have as well. This just gets you the basic quote based on your lifestyle. HealthIQ.com/blaze. Just get a quote from them. It's at least interesting to see what the questions are and how healthy you are. HealthIQ.com/blaze. Check them out today. All right. We got some good stuff coming up. We'll get some of your tweets and calls. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about a guy who traveled the world for free. And then we'll touch on what's going on with Trump.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
If you dream, dream big, where the sky is no longer the limit, where space is the final frontier, and you can go. You can join the U.S. Space Corps, the new combat-ready Space Force. Reach out and touch the universe, right there in the solar plexus. Defend against aliens.
We don't need no stinking spacesuits, man.
Other aliens.
You've made me very angry, Earth person. Ow, 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 you.
And the scum of the universe.
I'm Hillary Clinton.
The U.S. Space Corps.
Where's the kaboom?
See your recruiter today.
The new Space Corps.
You ruined my transmodulator.
I'm signing up.
It's a thing. Cal Space Cadet.
Space Cadet.
You sure too can defend Earth from aliens abroad.
Are they called Space Cadets if you're part of the Corps?
I think you would be.
Or is it Space Marines?
Space Corpsman.
Space Marine sounds
better. Space Corpsman.
Little Timmy could be a Space Cadet.
Galactic Space Corpsman.
Or if you're Obama, it's a Space Corpsman. Space Corps.
That's what you find in the bathroom at Walmart.
Space Corps. That's exactly it. Joining us now is Leon Logothetis, author of Live, Love, Explore. How are you, Leon?
I'm very well. How are you?
Fantastic. We saw some of your videos online. We're like, we gotta talk to him. Hang on one second. We're going to play a little of the audio of one of your videos.
The Netflix documentary.
Here we go.
When was the last time that another human being truly saw who you were? And that you felt it in your heart. You felt seen by somebody else. Answering that question is what brings me here today. The most healing type of connection is human connection. Because the greatest fuel you can give another human being is to see them. No one truly knows what's going on inside us except us. We waste our lives because we haven't been loved. We waste our lives because we've had trauma, and in that trauma, we shut down, our hearts shut down. And we can't allow anything in, and we can't give anything out. Once you are kind to yourself, it overflows and you have nothing else to do but give it away. Go out and be kind.
So,
starting with yourself.
Obviously, a little is lost because they're not seeing the visuals of some of your adventures, but I think that gives people a taste of your documentary. Leon, tell us your story. You were stuck in a rut and decided something needed to change?
Yeah, I used to be a broker in the city of London, and on the outside, I had everything. Yet on the inside, I really had nothing, and no one knew, because I was wearing a mask, which is what many of us do. And I ended up watching this documentary about the Motorcycle Diaries, about Che Guevara traveling around South America, relying on kindness. And there was something about that doc that really shifted my life, and I left my job. And I started to travel the world relying on kindness. Now, that's the simple version, but that's kind of how it happened.
That's pretty optimistic, thinking you're relying on kindness.
And gutsy.
I was like, wow, I may not get very far on kindness, but apparently you did.
Yeah, apparently I did. And before I left my work, I thought that the world was a very bad place. And obviously bad things do happen, but more often than not, good things happen. Yet we don't see that. We're not shown that on the news every day, and we get to see all the bad stuff, and we don't get to see all the good stuff.
Leon, I contend that there is far more good people, far more people willing to help, wanting to help, and caring. It's not even close, and we do not know it.
That is very true, and that's what I learned. I tell you, more often than not, there is goodness in this world. And I think what happens is that the news magnifies the bad, and we just watch the news, so we think everything's bad. Yeah, what would happen if we magnified the good. It would change the way that we work, without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, think about, Leon, all the things we take for granted every day. You get up in the morning, you have breakfast, you go drive into work, you just do the normal things, and you start work, and something bad happens, and you're like, oh, gee, why does this stuff always happen to me? What we don't do is say, you know, today and for the last 400 days, I drove into work and I didn't get a flat tire. And, right. You know, all of these things. But the day you get the flat tire, you're like, okay, there it is. You didn't realize every other day it went smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. We tend to focus on the bad. And in some ways, this may sound bizarre, but a wise man once said to me that many hundreds of thousands of years ago, humans were in caves. And when we were in caves, we had to make sure that everything was okay. So the slightest thing that went wrong, we would magnify. And we still have that part of our brain. So when we wake up and something bad happens, we magnify it. It's part of who we are biologically.
Little of that's that flight or fight thing, too. We have that, you know, self-defense mechanism. So tell me some of the logistics of how you started traveling. How did you begin?
Well, where did you start and where did you end?
So the project that's currently on Netflix, I purchased a vintage yellow motorbike, and my aim was to travel around the world, relying entirely on kindness. So I had no money, no food, no gas, no place to stay, and I relied entirely on other people. So the logistics from that perspective were, once I purchased the bike and once I started, it was really just relying on people. Now, there were certain logistics I had to do, for example, to cross the oceans. I couldn't just arrive at the port and say, hey, can you let me get on your ship? Because they'd say no. So I had to figure that out beforehand. And I had to figure out all my visas beforehand, things like that. But apart from that, logistically, it was just moment to moment.
So were you the guy at the gas station saying, hey, look, I need to fill up my motorcycle because I'm on a cross country. Can you give me a couple bucks?
I'm going around the world on kindness.
You know what? I was that guy, but two things. First of all, I couldn't accept money. You could only give me kindness. And secondly, look, I had this yellow motorbike with a sidecar, which gave me an advantage. And I had my English accent, which also gave me an advantage.
Never underestimate that. You're right, Leon. So when you said kindness, so you meant you could accept commodities, though, like gasoline or food?
Absolutely. I could accept gas, I could accept place to stay, stuff like that.
What countries did you go to?
I went to about 20 countries for the Kindness Diaries journey. I crossed the whole of America. Then I went from Barcelona to Vietnam. And then I went to Canada and down.
Did you make it North Korea?
Do you know what? I never went to North Korea. I've always wanted to, but not on this journey.
Yeah, I would be curious to see it as well. But they could certainly use some kindness, and I'd be willing to bet the people, if they weren't afraid, would be very kind people. So, did you work along the way, or you just got to know people and they helped you? Were most of your connections, when people helped you out, when they gave you gas or food, was that because you had established a relationship, or was it just, hey, there's a guy who needs help, I'll help him out?
Yeah, I mean, there's always an establishment of a relationship. Now, whether or not that relationship lasts 10 minutes or whether it lasts a day or whether it lasts, you know, months or whatever, years, some of the people I'm still in touch with. It's kind of, I find that once we have something to connect with in daily life, that's the easiest place to do it. When you have something that you're both, conscious of and both want to move forward with, it's a beautiful thing. It's much easier than people think.
Do you ever have a day where you get up and you just think to yourself, I do not want to speak to another human being. I want to be by myself. I mean, seriously, obviously you like people, but I mean, do you have those days?
Absolutely. You know, I'm just like everyone else. And part of the reason why I do this is I used to be very, very shy, and I was very, very disconnected. And I forced myself to do it. And it kind of just snowballed. And there are absolutely days. In fact, I shouldn't share that live on radio, but
No one's listening. Go ahead.
I'm not going to do that. But you know, there are definitely moments. Yeah, of course I want to be by myself. But the fact that I've started to do this has kind of forced me to connect with people even when I don't want to.
Do you feel better about your life and when you now, based on what you're doing now, will you feel better when you look back if you live another 50 years and you're getting ready to pass? Will you look back and say, okay, I made a difference and my life counted?
Absolutely. As a kid, I was very sensitive. I was bullied, and I felt very alone. And I would always say to myself, why, internally, I would say to myself, why are you disempowering me? This was to adults as well as kids. Why can't you empower me? And I made a decision in my head to do my best. I'm not perfect, but to do my best to empower people as often as I could. And I did, and I do. And at the same time, I get to see the world, and what a beautiful thing.
Tell me you're on your trip, your best and your worst day. Does either one of those stand out?
Yeah, my best day was I ended up in Pittsburgh.
Well, I can't believe that's your best
that's
day.
Your best day.
Wow, that's the first time anyone's ever said that.
Well, it was summer, so it was a bit better. And to cut a long story short, I met a homeless chap who ended up putting me up for the night, fed me, protected me, gave me some clothes. And he taught me a beautiful lesson that true wealth is not in our wallets, but it's in our hearts. That was the best day. There were many bad days, but I think one of the bad days was when I arrived in Vietnam and the border guards refused to give me my bike, so they impounded my bike and they told me, that's it, it's over. And I'm like, what do you mean that's it, it's over? I've just traveled like however many thousands of miles. I have 70 miles to get onto a ship to go back to Canada, but they're like, no, sorry, it's over. We ended up resolving it, but that was a bad day.
For what reason did they offer that they impounded it?
Because they could.
Oh.
Yeah, basically. I think they didn't like vintage yellow motorbikes, and they had some obscure law where you couldn't bring into the country anything old that you couldn't carry. It was all a bit bizarre.
That is very odd. Well, this is really interesting, and I think we honestly need a whole lot more of that, because certainly in America, we are divided like a few times before, and unless we get it together, we're going to continue to suffer. So I think that's a good thing. Now, Leon, the good thing is you're going to be doing a Facebook Live with us today at noon Eastern time.
And I am.
People can meet you, and we'll show some pictures, your book as well. So people, make sure facebook.com/theblaze at noon Eastern time. And Leon and I will be there. Do you have a Facebook or a Twitter account we should be aware of?
Yes, it's my name, basically, which is Leon, LOGOTHETIS. But the best way to get me, really, is just to Google The Kindness Diaries or put that into Netflix and you can watch it.
And by the way, it's a series on Netflix, right?
Yes.
And you get the Netflix account and it's there, you can find it easily. And
Yeah, just put in The Kindness Diaries and it comes up.
Good deal. Is it going to be something ongoing? You're going to do another set of travels and be part of The Kindness Diaries again, or is it a one-time thing?
Yeah, I'm working on a second season where instead of using a vintage motorbike, I'm going to be using an electric car.
Oh, you can't carry that either, so that's going to be trouble in Vietnam.
Make sure you call Vietnam beforehand.
I'm going to say what that is. All right, Leon, thanks so much for joining, and I'll see you at noon Eastern, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Leon Logothetis. Now I got it. Logothetis. Leon
Logothetis.
Logothetis. Try saying with the Leon first.
Leon Logothetis.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Live, Love, and Explore is the book, and it's The Kindness Diaries. He toured the world. I was thinking maybe if he came here and for his second season, he tried to get from office to office finding kindness.
In this building.
What a challenge that would be.
He'll stop at next door.
Yeah, he wouldn't make it out of the studio.
That's what I'm saying.
He'd be like, seriously, guys, I just need some help getting through the door. No, can you just open the door for me?
We'd have a really cool motorbike in the hallway.
What's in it for me?
Sorry,
what's going on? I'm too busy.
We can't let you leave with that motorbike.
You know, maybe he could try to make it across Chicago, something like that. I tried to go from Chicago to Detroit. I'm still here. They stopped me at the border. They confiscated my bike. Was it the police? No.
It was two 15-year-olds around the corner.
Exactly. I can buy it back with a pound of drugs, though. I get a quick break in. First, I got to tell you about Earth Water. Love the Earth Water. I got to see if Glenn tried it yet. So he's walking, I'm walking in the hall, and he goes, "What is that?" I go, "It's water." That's water.
Water is black.
I got that out of the bathroom, Glenn. No, he's like, "It's." I said, "No, it's water. It's a new sponsor of the Blaze Radio." He goes, "Oh, I gotta try that." So I put a couple on set for him yesterday. I didn't check them to see if he tried them yet in the cooler that they have there.
Yeah, I saw that's who put those in.
I put those in there. Put a couple of them, so we'll have to check them. But love the Earth Water. Most of the staff that tries it around here loves it because it's water, but it's healthier. It has those 70 trace minerals. That's what makes it black or at least dark brown in color. It looks kind of like cola. Earthwater.com/TheBlaze if you want to try it. Earthwater.com/TheBlaze. And remember the promo code TheBlaze for even deeper discounts this week at Prime Week. If you get it through Amazon Prime, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you're going to get it really discounted. Just go to earthwater.com/TheBlaze, and it'll even take you to the Amazon Prime discount as well. Earthwater.com/TheBlaze, promo code TheBlaze. What those 70 trace minerals are doing, boosting your energy level. It's going to help you rebuild your immune system because your body needs this stuff. It's going to reduce your stress level, improve your memory and focus, help remove the toxins from your body, and help maintain healthy skin, nails, and hair. Now, those are some lofty claims. You're like, come on, it's going to do all. Yes, it does. Not because it's a drug. It's because your body needs these trace minerals.
These are actual natural minerals from the earth.
Exactly. Your body relies on these things to do those things we just explained, but you're likely not getting most of them.
You do have a natural glow recently since you started drinking it.
You do look shiny. That's what I am. You know, check my hair.
What's your secret?
See how healthy my hair is? I don't have much of it, but what I have is really healthy.
What about the top? It doesn't look good on the top.
That's the skin that's healthy on the top of my head. Yeah, the sides, the hair is healthy. The top, the skin is healthy. Son of a. It's Earth Water. Try it today. It's earthwater.com/TheBlaze with promo code TheBlaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
So we have an author on tomorrow. We were discussing off air, a guy who has a novel. What's the book, by the way? Do you remember?
The Null Prophecy.
It's on the calendar.
And it looks like a pretty good book. Cal's interested in reading it. He says,
Okay. I don't put words in my mouth.
You're not interested in reading it?
I am now. I just found out about it now.
You're interested in reading it.
Because and he says, you said, I can't interview a guy. I can't interview books. I don't do novels. I don't do books.
No, I like reading them. They're difficult interviews because you're like, hey, tell me what the book's about. Well, I can't because it'll give it away.
No, you can only give you a plot. Generic.
Yeah, but how long is that? That's a minute. It's like a blurb. And then, okay, I got another 10 minutes. So what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
So how did you come up with the idea for this book?
Right. So I was like, "That you guys are going to have to help me out with this." And Cal goes,
"No, I'm not doing it." Cal, yeah. And then Chris is like, "All right, Cal, you ready to do it?" I'm like, "Okay."
So Cal says,
"Can I get the book and get some?"
So you're going to read it between now and tomorrow morning.
I can't read the whole book.
23
I've got
hours.
Six other books I got to read.
Whatever.
Yeah. And here's the thing. How are you doing in the reading?
How are you doing the other four?
Getting through them as much as fast as
out
I can.
Out of four, how many you read?
Of the four?
Yes.
Yeah, the Glenn assigned.
I've read one and three. Wait! Let me finish.
What?
I'm almost done with the second one. I'm like
3/8?
Oh, 3/4 of the way. I got a quarter left.
Is that the one you started a long time ago?
No, it's the other one about the mistakes were made, but not by me.
Yeah. So you've gotten to...
Which is, by the way, riveting.
It's a difficult book. I know. I told you. You read the first two, and they're faster.
So, yeah. Did you read Tribal?
Did you read Friction?
That was an audiobook. I read Friction. Tribal's the audiobook.
Yeah.
I'm almost done with that. That's the other one I'm almost done with.
Okay, this is very sketchy, but you're going to read the other book before the interview tomorrow.
I'm going to skim through it and read a couple pages, because you don't want to.
Just saying. I, meanwhile, have read all four. Chris has read all four.
I read a fifth
book that Glenn didn't assign, but he's reading, and I'm working on the sixth.
Single father. We've who done extra doesn't credit. Have much other than
a
you.
Single father?
Yeah, he's a single father.
Oh, him. I thought you meant you.
And you, who you really you don't have to deal with the wife and kids because they're not around here.
Oh, trust me. I have to deal with them even more.
Crap at home that I got to deal
Blaze
with.
Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweets coming in. Sleeve did it, saying, if it smells like somebody died in there, well, maybe somebody died in there. Usually, that's possibly. Mm-hmm. All right, a couple of good ones. Lori D tweeting, when you rely on a homeless man to provide you shelter in Pittsburgh, you may be doing it wrong. And you need a shower.
Kool-Aid Drinker tweeted, come on, Doc, take it easy on Cal. He's way too busy mowing his lawn to read.
Good point.
I'm way too busy paying a guy to mow my lawn to read.
Tech Rue and Lori D both with criticisms of the interview that I think are founded, maybe not fully understood. So Leon mentioned that he was inspired by Che Guevara's documentary about him traveling, which the thing is, I don't think that documentary showed him torturing and murdering people.
I don't think so. They left that part out. That's part two.
Right. That was the later years, whatever. Clearly a Marxist and clearly a bad dude, but that part of it I could understand why you're just free and helping people. And the ironic thing is Che Guevara was trying to help people.
Yeah.
He was in his mind, but Marxists, they believe they're helping people with Marxism, which just ends up killing people, and he actually tortured and killed people.
We'll ask him that when we see him at 12 p.m.
Yeah, you're right. That's because we're going to do the Facebook Live with him, noon Eastern.
Yeah, it should be you and Cal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Cal, we just booked you for something.
Oh, yeah, it's on the calendar.
On the calendar. TheBlaze.com/Facebook, noon today. All right,
the other way.
Huh?
The other way.
What'd I do?
It's Facebook.com/TheBlaze.
Did I say TheBlaze.com/ Facebook?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we put a link to it that way just in case Doc screws it up from now on?
So hold on. Now we have to cater to
you. So now you got to go tell Facebook to change their
link. Just cleaning up the message. Just say cleaning up any possible friction points. That's what it is. At StuntBrain on Twitter, Mike Opalka joining us now. And, of course, we call him StuntBrain because he's a StuntBrain.
Is he?
Good morning, gentlemen. Did you just refer yourself in the third person?
He did.
What do you mean? How? What did I say?
We should correct that and put a link out there just in case Doc screws it up in the future.
I said any person. It could be anybody. You know, we all make mistakes.
No, you said Doc.
He does this all day. He'll be like, Doc's in the mood for some pancakes. What about you guys?
Jimmy's getting upset over here.
It's like Cubby.
You're killing Independent George.
You know who's
Independent
another
Doc?
One? Cubby. Cubby speaks in the third person.
Oh, Cubby does.
Yeah.
That's right. Mike's grandchild. Or not grandchild. Whoa, I just gave you a different position. Godchild. Godchild.
Wow. So my son.
Maybe you should make him your grandchild just in case somebody screws it up in the future.
There you go.
Yeah, he'll say.
There's all kinds of.
Cubby wants this or Cubby wants that. Yeah. How are you, sir?
I'm a little distressed, though, because you've just announced that you're going to do this big Facebook Live thing. Starting what time?
Noon Eastern. Why is that a problem?
Is that an important time we're not aware of?
What else happens? What else happens on the Blaze Radio Network around noon Eastern?
We all go to break,
I just thought we just turned it off for a couple
the news,
hours.
The news comes on at the top at 12 o'clock
top,
Eastern, right?
Yeah.
Now, Mike, remember, we're all part of a team here. It's a team effort.
So you're saying there's no I in team?
No, I'm saying there isn't an I in team. Listen, sure, we'll steal most of your audience, but as long as I'm on your team, that's okay.
Well,
at least that's what I'm told.
I guess if you put it that way.
No, this is why we have podcasts. This is why people can go back and watch the Facebook Live after watching your show.
On demand.
Right, exactly. On demand. So what happens is they listen to your show for 3 hours, and then they immediately tune over to Facebook and watch what happened. Chris Salcedo, be damned.
finally, we've got it straightened out. I'm very worried about Chris Salcedo and his Mitch McConnell impression. It's disturbing to me. I don't know what he's doing.
So you're right. So after Chris Salcedo's program, then you tune to Facebook Live, Pat and Stu, be damned.
Yeah, because that's just a rerun from what happened right after the TV show.
Okay, this is really getting... Okay, then it's... Who's on after that? Is that Glenn's show?
Who's on first? What's on second?
On the weekend.
It's an HR problem. Okay, yeah, sometime this weekend.
But then that's pure Opelka again.
During commercial breaks. Cut into your sleep time. All right, so what are you thinking of this? Okay, we got a couple issues. You got the Donald Trump Jr. thing going on. So the White House in some disarray, we'll put it that way. And then you have the health care bill that... Rand Paul saying, hey, Obamacare may be the law of the land for a while.
Yeah, it looks like D.C.'s in a big mess. And Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, they are saying there's no way in hell they're going to sign whatever's coming out. They've apparently seen it. We'll get a look at it today. But we kind of know what it is. There's still the taxation for the really wealthy people that will make some folks happy, and it's going to tick off some others. So I think this just gets pulled. If they can't get it done, now we'll see. Maybe there's something new happening. But that and the palace intrigue at the White House that reportedly we're hearing that the president's not happy, but he also landed in Paris today. So he's not going to be there to see if there is any intrigue, but we'll see if there are questions at the press conference. But I'm more concerned about the Blue Lobster, Doc. Aren't you worried about the Blue Lobster?
Don't go Google Blue Lobster. Don't do it. That's what I've always heard.
Not from a work computer.
Not from a work computer. What's the Blue Lobster?
They've announced that the president and the first lady will be having dinner with the Macrons at a Michelin star rated restaurant from Alain Ducasse, the famed chef. Jules Verne is the name of the restaurant. It's right there in the Eiffel Tower. Very famous joint. And they'll be dining on Blue Lobster and caviar.
Wait a minute. I've been to the Eiffel Tower. It was just like a little cafe in the corner. There's a restaurant somewhere I missed?
Yes. Yes. Alain Ducasse, the famed. It's a Michelin star rated restaurant. You know, those are a big deal.
Oh, yeah. There's not many of them around.
This guy's a huge.
Is this on the ground, like underneath right there? Because I remember there being like a restaurant there. I don't remember one up in.
It's got windows, so it's not underground. It's on the ground. But I called a friend of mine who's a celebrity chef because he knows about. You know, I wanted to know what the hell the Blue Lobster is, and he said it's a rarity here in North America, but they are caught off the coast of France. About one out of every 500,000 lobsters they catch is a blue tinted lobster. But they all turn the same color orange when you boil them. So what's the big deal?
So,
and they don't taste different.
So you just tell people it's a blue lobster when really it's just a lobster. You just lie to them.
You see blue lobsters in the tank when you go in. You know, give me the blue one. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they charge more for it. Mm-hmm. But here's the funny thing. I'm going to play this interview on my program while you're doing that Facebook thing right around noon. all the chefs in the world consider this restaurant to be a joke. They
really?
Call it the red lobster of France.
That's funny.
And now, no offense to Red Lobster. I'm sure that shrimp mania, whatever's going on, is a fine thing. But he said, now, his celebrity chef friends, all of his high-level New York chef friends, are calling and laughing this morning, saying that they can't believe he's going to Jules Verne because it's a tourist restaurant, and the latest reviews on it have been brutal, and he even sent me a couple. But they got to be doing it for the photo op, or are they doing it because President Trump is notoriously plain in his taste?
No, because I think plain, if you're going to go plain, you don't go lobster. I mean, unless he really loves it, but you're right. I would think that's the cheeseburger guy, right? I mean, you do something simple like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're in France that considers itself the culinary center of the world, and you take the president of the United States to a place that the culinary community looks at as the Red Lobster.
Wait a minute. Do we know if it was Macron's pick or was it Trump's pick?
That's
assuming.
The question we'd like to ask. So we have to find out who. And it might have been Melania said, Donald, that is a great restaurant in the basement or in the Eiffel Tower. But it's also a place they now have. They have encircled with security, and they have bulletproof glass around the base of the Eiffel Tower. So it's probably a very safe place too.
Interesting. Yeah. So if it's Macron, maybe he's a man of the people. We're going to take. I mean, like the president's coming in. Let's take him to Applebee's. Let's something like that.
Yeah. Let's get him the happy ending Sunday.
Right. Right. Wow, that is interesting. And that does make sense, though. If it is a restaurant near, under, or in the Eiffel Tower, yeah, it's going to be a tourist trap. It's not going to be, something that is critically acclaimed.
It's not the fanciest joint in town, but it is It is. It's in a, the optics will be great because you'll have a photo of the two leaders and their wives beneath the Eiffel Tower. So you got a good photo op, but apparently not the best food in France.
Well, he'll always have Paris. He'll always have Paris.
See what you did there.
See what I did there? Mike, interesting with the way this is all being handled, and I was talking to some people here yesterday about where this all goes, and I don't think we, I'll say I don't think I have been good at expressing that I do hope President Trump succeeds in being a good president. I hope, you know, not necessarily every agenda or issue that he has laid out, things on his agenda, but I do want him to be successful. So during all of these scandals, it's upsetting to me, not that he is being attacked, but because, hey, we're not on path to doing some of the things we thought maybe he would do.
Yeah, the problem I have, and I'm like you, I want the president and the Congress to be successful and get their agenda pushed forward, but the scandals keep shooting them in the foot. They take away from everything they're trying to do, and it creates all this additional noise and investigation, and it slows down all the good that they had promised us they were going to do. Now, he still can do executive orders, but he's not going to get taxation reform. He's not going to get health care. He's not going to get any of the real stuff he promised that he needs Congress to do if they don't stop with this constant droning of scandals. And this one, I still have problems with it because it that meeting never should have happened, especially when you compare to what Al Gore did when he got the George Bush playbook. They actually turned it over
turned
to the
it
FBI.
Over. Yep, which is interesting.
So it's a bad example, and I want the agenda to go forward. So stop shooting yourself in the foot, please.
All right. Well, join Mike Opalka at 12:20 Eastern this afternoon on the Blaze Radio Network. Dad Stuntbrain on Twitter. All right, buddy. Have a great day. Got to tell you about Relief Factor, a product designed to be an anti-inflammatory to help people deal with pain in their body. It's helped all kinds of people, and it can help you too. All you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Pick up that 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95 and begin to put yourself on the path to being pain-free like it has made so many people around here and so many people in the audience. You can also call 800-583-84. That's 800-583-84 in case you don't want to get on the internet and do it. Again, it's just $19.95 for that 3-week quick start pack. If you know somebody in pain, maybe you buy it for them and say, hey, just try this. Usually takes 7 to 10 days for most people to start seeing results, but make sure to stay with it for that 3-week solid period, and I'm confident you will see some pain relief, and that's what it's all about. Go to ReliefFactor.com. It's ReliefFactor.com.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network. Doc Thompson.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned monkey food and deer food is the same thing. We learned most insurance companies will not cover pedicures. Most of them.
Most of them.
Some do. Apparently, food stamps cause obesity.
Who knew?
We learned if death is caused by a bullet fired 58 years ago, that's a really slow bullet. And finally, the best way to learn about the economy and the gold standard is via the 1964 documentary Goldfinger. Shirley Bassey did the soundtrack for that. Cal, spin of the dials, radio. No, you're not. Cal, also sitting on his ass today. What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned C is for cocaine. That's good enough for me.
I learned apparently all the gold in the world can fit into an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Yeah.
Wow, who knew? And finally, I got to add another book to my list.
Get it done. Clock's ticking.
How many more I have to read, man? Seriously.
Kirk Jones, what, if anything, did you learn spinning the dials radio style Dallas, Texas this morning?
What I learned today, you try to be inspirational on the Morning Blaze and you turn around to Doc
Cal and Brad reenacting winning gold at the Olympics.
Speaking of Brad, Brad Staggs, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned if you're going to be a guest on the Morning Blaze, make sure your name is less than three syllables if you want anyone to pronounce it correctly.
That's right, yeah, especially Chris Cruz.
We can't read good and stuff.
Elmo is dealing and Cookie Monster is also dealing. Plus, he's a narc.
Speaking of Chris Cruz, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
Apprehend is learning if Stumbrin is on the Morning Blaze and must be Thursday. That's how I keep my time.
That's right. It is Thursday. One day left in the week.
Sleeve did it, also tweeting out while lunch. Apparently, the TMB has gone from monkeys in Florida to hyenas in studio. Steve Saxon also tweeting out, Earthwater has given Doc Thompson his shiny, shiny new coat.
I do have a shiny new coat.
He's shiny.
I need to check
healthy,
this stuff out.
My healthy glow.
Yep.
And finally, TMB Saddle Tramp also tweeting out, I'm not afraid of Blackwater, but Black Pete, on the other hand,
That's what did it. Oh my gosh. I just realized I didn't get the new numbers on procrastination.
All the book reading.
That's right. I'll do them tomorrow, though. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
It's Entertainment Fridays. We got The Leftovers. We got
Lex Jurgen will join us in the Friday Leftovers.
Hollywood News.
What does Glenn Beck have coming up on his program following ours on the Blaze Radio Network?
A wide variety of cutting edge, compelling topics that affect conservatives and Americans everywhere. What is he doing?
Baby Guard. Baby Charlie.
Oh, yeah, update on Charlie Guard.
Oh, that seems very flippant. What is Glenn wearing today?
Something old, something new. Mm. I think he's got something borrowed, too, and possibly something blue.
Interesting, interesting. Remember, The Morning Blaze is a Today Chris Cruz production. Sic Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anya, now you go home. Apparently there's a wedding going on.
Light blue.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.